Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Durham is Chaf Aleph. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is in Lizech and Ishmael Liba Gavriela Bashmuel. And we begin today the third parak. How does it work in terms of the parakim? So the first parak of the Masechta, we learned what creates a neder. What exactly is the formula that creates a neder? We learned about the basic concept of kinui, a nickname, a hatfasa, a comparison between one and another, and a yad. And a partial statement, which, if said correctly, really is incorporating the entire statement. Those are the three basic ideas that we learned together in the first parak. In the second parak, we spent a lot of time describing what is not a neder. In other words, the statements that you make, but because you said them incorrectly, so they're simply not going to be considered a neder. What about the third parak over here? Intent. Intent is going to be a big portion of the third parak, where you said it correctly, but based on the context and based on the circumstances, your intent was not to make a neder. So with that stated, so let's begin the third parak of the Masechta. The Mishnah starts on the very bottom of Chaf Amud Aleph. Arba nedarim hitiru chachamim. There are four nedarim that the rabbis are matir. They permitted. Really, it's not the chachamim that were matir, meaning it's based on the fact that your intent was not an intent, but in other words, but the chachamim ruled in the situation that the nedarim are not going to be, they're not even going to require a she'ela. Nidrei zuzim, nidrei avai, nidrei shkagos, nidrei onsin. So they are nidrei zuzim, motivational nedarim, nidrei havai, nedarim that are nonsense, nidrei shkagos, nedarim that are made by mistake, and nidrei onsin, and nedarim that were made, but ones, circumstances beyond your control. So the good news is that our parak is going to be covering all four of them. Today we're going to be focusing on nidrei zuzim. We're going to be going over category number one, but over the course of this parak, we're going to be seeing examples of all of these. If you take a look at the first Tosfos on the parak, I know usually I refer to the Ran, but if you look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos writes, Ad hashta ayri bikinuya hasurim bikinuya hamutarim. So Tosfos gives us a basic synopsis, which truth of the matter is already pointed out in the beginning of this year, but you get to see Tosfos actually say it. The at this point in time, up until now, we were talking about those kinuyim, those expressions which are usher, kinuyim hamutarim, b'matfis b'davar nadar, b'matfis b'davar hamutar, v'hashta mari b'nadarim, d'alfagav d'hotzi amipiv. Even though in all these cases, the neder came out, and you were clear about it, and you were vocal about it, b'lasha and shar neder, and it really conforms to the regular neder language, afilo hachim mutarim. Nevertheless, it's all going to be mutar, b'tayma havim yishum d'bina piv v'libo shavin. Because there's a basic rule, which we're going to be hitting again and again throughout this parak. In order for a neder to be a neder, you need two components. You need both piv, you need the articulation, and you need libo, and you need your intent. In other words, so that you need articulation, you need intent. And if we can make the argument, which is what we're going to be doing over the course of this parak, if we can make the argument that that wasn't your intent, so then we can now say that the neder is not a neder. So that's the, and the Tosfos goes on to say, v'anan sahadi delo shavu piv libo. Bahani Dalad and Darim. And it's Sahadi, it's self-evident. It is self-evident in all these cases that his mouth and his heart are not in agreement with one another. He's not, there's no real intent of a neder. Bahani time with Loparch Bigmar, Bahadi Bidvarim Shibalev. Okay, and then he goes on to explain a Gemara which really, we need to see Gemara later on to understand. Okay, but good. But that's the basic idea that's behind our Mishnah. Really, all four of these categories is that piv alibo and a shavim, that his mouth and his heart are not in agreement with one another, and so therefore these nedarim are not going to be valid nedarim. So let's go now, study by study, case by case. So today we're going to limit ourselves to nidrei zuzim. So the Mishnah goes on to say ketzad nidrei zuzim ketzad. Give me an example of a nidrei zuzim. To be a zariz means to be to motivate and to incentivize, right? Zrizim makdim la mitzvos, right? That's it's a good expression the Gemara says a number of times. Zrizim makdim la mitzvos, meaning that if you're excited about a mitzvah, so you get up early, you'll do the mitzvah early. So that's a basic concept. So over here we're talking about nidrei zrizim. So give me an example of that. So the Mishnah gives an example. Hayomocher chefetz va'amr konim sheni poches lach min hasela. So let's say we have a simple negotiation between a seller and a buyer. So the seller turns to the buyer and seller says to the buyer, here, here's an object, and I'm not selling it for anything less than four. Okay, four. Now, the Gemara says the word sella. Sella is equivalent to four dinarim. Okay, so I'm not selling it to you for anything less than four. And konein, And he actually states this by way of neder. So I guess if I could try to convert this into an English sentence, although it's not really accurate, right? I swear I'm not selling it for you less than four, but it's not a shvur, it's not an oath. It's a neder. So basically the sentence would go something more like, if I sold it to you for more than four, so then something will become prohibited. And again, it's not totally clear in the Mishnah what that something is. Maybe it's the proceeds of the sale, maybe it's the profit that he got. Either way, the point is as follows. We're just talking about a negotiation between a seller and a buyer. So the seller starts off with setting the price at four and making an edit to the extent that I'm not selling it less than four. B'hala omer konim sheni mosif alacha ala shekel. And then the buyer says, oh yeah? Well, I'm telling you right now, by way of neder, I'm not going to pay you more anything greater than two. Meaning, I know the Gemara says the word, the Mishnah says the word shekel, but shekel is two dinarim. I'm not selling it to you for anything more than two. So basically now we have a simple negotiation between a seller and a buyer. Seller sets the price at four and is not ready to budge below four. Buyer says, yeah, really? I'm not going to budge above two. And so we have a simple negotiation between them. Now where's the middle ground between the two of them? The middle ground is going to be three. Shnehem rotsim b'shlosha dinarim. So the Mishnah says that the two of them, if they're in agreement, so they can go now with the price of three. But the point of the Mishnah is not that we're negotiating, meaning the Mishnah is not teaching us how to negotiate. The Mishnah is teaching us that the neder is not a neder. The neder is not a neder for the very simple reason that, again, that wasn't their intent. Their intent when they articulated was not that the seller wasn't really thinking, if I sell for anything less than four, I'm bound by a neder. And the buyer wasn't thinking that if I pay more than two, I'm bound by a neder. That's just simply how people talk. And as a result of the fact that that's how people talk, so therefore, it is not going to be a recognized neder. Let's take a look at the Ran. The Ran now on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, and first let's start. We're gonna jump around a little bit in this first Ran. Let's start from the beginning of the Ran on the top of the Amud. Shneim rotsim b'shlosha dinarim. Shamocha yadata l'shlosha v'leskav v'minizra ela zaris alokeach. So the Ran says, because look, in negotiation, you understand that the first thing that comes out of your mouth is not going to be the price. It's going to be, basically, I'm setting the bar. So the Ran says that even from the onset, the seller had in his mind that three was going to be the price. But he knows he can't say three because that's not how negotiation works. V'leskav v'minizra ela zaris alokeach. And the only reason why he was making a neder was simply to motivate, to incentivize, to just basically push the buyer to the point where, all right, I'm going with four, I'm not going less than four. Again, it's hyperbole, just so that the buyer understands, hey, he's serious. Meaning he wants a lot for it. Not necessarily the number four, but he wants a lot. So, shalo yamid al datu shamar bezinar vishyaskin l'shlosha. V'chein l'keich niskavin l'shlosha. And the same thing is true regarding the buyer. The buyer also had the number three somewhere in his mind. But he said two, and he made a neder to the extent of two. Once again, that was just motivational. That was just to get the seller to understand that, hey, I'm serious. Meaning, right, it's not going to be four. It's going to be something less than four. She asked him l'kach v'lo yamar al dato shamar abar dinarim mishum hachi lo chal nidrei. The time of the milsa, and then the Ran goes on to explain, and the reason behind all this is l'fisha darken shel mocher v'lo kech b'kach. This is how a negotiation is done. Meaning, in a general commerce, people do this. People take a position they don't really mean, but they're basically understanding that when I go into negotiation with you, I'm not going to give you the price that I'm actually going to pay. The seller's not going to give the price that he actually is selling it for. This is just simply how things are done. In other words, or put in other terms, this is how people talk. And even though each one of them is saying a neder, but it's only nidre's reason. It's not really their intent, and therefore it's their nedarim are not halachically bound. Okay. Okay. Now, what we're going to do in this round is we're going to skip down a little bit more. Venira. It's the lines in the round, two lines before they start getting wide. Okay, he quoted a Yerushalmi, he gets a pshat in the Yerushalmi. It's interesting, but I want to move on to another point within this round. Venira. The b'she'im ma'amidah medatan hayu l'shosha dinar mocha yachol litna bepachos mishlosha v'lokeach yachol litem bo yoster mishlosha. She'kem she'mashmos ha'nadar enu ala zaris af ha'pi she'eskima b'libam l'gimol dinarim dvarim she'belev havum. Okay, so the Ron goes on to say, and the agreed number doesn't have to absolutely be three, meaning it could be a little bit more than three, it could be a little bit less than three. Three is just basically the average between the two, but the Ron says it doesn't have to be three. Umihu. But then the Ron goes on to write, Ein hamocher rashay litna b'shekel, v'alo lakech rashay litim bo sela. Sherei ikr mashmas nadarim eino ela lakach. So the Ron says, but here's something which I think, and I say the words I think, because you're going to see the Ron is going to vacillate on this point. The Ron says, I think, however, the following. I think that when the seller sells it, he cannot accept the price of two. And when the buyer buys it, he cannot pay four. In other words, the Ron is positing that even though each one of them made a neder, and even though the whole point of our discussion is that it's nidre zrizim, it's just motivational. It's just, this is negotiation. This is how people talk. But the Ron says, but they did say something. They did bind themselves by some form of a neder. Although it's not a halachically viable neder, but they did commit themselves. Again, the seller said, I'm not selling to you for less than four. And the buyer says, well, that's good because I'm not paying more than two. And each one of them makes a neder solidifying their position. The Ron says, look, they're going to meet somewhere in the middle and that's fine. And the nedarim also don't have validity. But the Ron says, but they can't, neither one of them can meet the other party at the extreme point. That's the first position in the Ron. And then the Ron recognizes, even that, I'm not so sure about. The Ikaman Damada Filabhi Gavna Lochail in the Dryhu, and some say that even at the extreme points there's not going to be an edge whatsoever. So certainly we know that anywhere in the middle is for sure an acceptable point where they can agree upon, and their neder is not going to be chal. And then the Ron grapples with the question of, well, what about the extreme positions? Can two or four be the can be the agreed upon price? Even though one of them said by neder it's not going to be two, and the other one said by neder it's not going to be four. So the Ron said at that point in time equivocates and is not sure whether or not that is acceptable or not. His position is inclined to say you can't go two and four, but then he notes that others disagree and say no, you can even go to the point of two and four. And all this is just hyperbole on the parts of the buyer and the seller. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the run. Let us begin with the Gemara. Abar nedarim yitiru chachamim v'chulei. Amalei Rabbi Abba bar Mamala Rabbi Amma Amartla Mishmei de Rabbi Yehuda Nisiya. So all this comes to us from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and he asked the following question: Mantan Arba Nedarim. So who is the author of our Mishnah? Meaning, on what basis does our Mishnah say that all these Nedarim, all four of them categorically, are not considered Neder? So he says, Rabbi Yehuda, he. It must be the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Damar Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, who said in the name of Rabbi Tarfon. Now all this should sound familiar because 2 days ago on Friday we did this Gemara Daf Yates. And now we get to see it again. La'olam in echad mehem nazir lefi shelo nitna nazirus ella lehafla'a. Because we have a basic idea that goes that Rabbi Tarfon endorses again and again, and that is the following. Again, the case is, we go over this case every time, but it's good. Okay, just get more and more comfortable with the case. Guy comes walking down the street, so together with a friend, to look at the guy and say, you know, that guy is so-and-so, or that guy is a Nazir. And my friend standing next to me says, no, what are you talking about? No, he's not. It's somebody else, or he's not a Nazir. And both of us now are pretty strong in our position over this really unimportant issue. But both of us are standing pretty strong in this position. And both of us say, you know, if I'm right, I'm going to become a Nazir. And the other one says, well, if I'm right, I'm going to be a Nazir. So he finally gets here. And we ask him the question, are you not a Nazir? He says either he is or he's not. And what's the halacha? So Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Tarfon, neither of us are a Nazir. Even though one of us is for sure going to be right, neither of us is a Nazir. Why? Because the basic position of Rav Yehuda Amar Mishum, Rav Yehuda Amar Rabbi Tarfon is that in order to be a Nazir, or for any Neder for that matter, you must have all the information at your disposal at the time when you make the statement. If there's going to be information that is only uncovered and discovered later on, you're not going to be a Nazir, or for that matter, no Neder is going to be Chal. So what the Gemara now is arguing and suggesting is that in our Mishnah, the reason why all these Nedarim are not valid Nedarim is because it's rooted in the position of Rabbi Tarfon, that all the information is not available at the time when you made the Neder. That is right now the first position of the Gemara. Rava Amar Rava says, no. I feel it, Tamar Rabbanan, it's not true. You could say that we don't have to limit our Mishnah to the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Truth of the matter is, the Chachamim who would say that one of them is going to be a Neder. Because you don't need all the information at your disposal at the time when you make the Neder. Even if you learn some information later on, if the information that you learn later on validates your Neder, you're bound by your Neder. What about our Mishnah? Mi ketani shneim ratzu, shneim rotzin ketani. The Mishnah does not say shneim ratzu, but rather shneim rotzin. Meaning, look at the punchline of our Mishnah. So on the very top line of the page, the Gemara just quoted it. Shneim rotzin ketani, shneim rotzin means that they're currently in agreement. Meaning that when, it's exactly what we said earlier, when one said 4 and the other said 2, that wasn't there, even when they said it, that wasn't their actual position. They were just saying it because they knew that they were going to come to a point of agreement. They knew that 3 was going to be the agreed upon number. 4 and 2 were just, you know, digging their heels in the sand, each one of them giving the impression that, hey, I'm really bent on 4. And the other one says, I'm really bent on 2. But even at the time when they said it, they knew that this wasn't going to be exactly their position. So our Mishnah is not predicated on the position of Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, I say something, I mean it, but I don't have all the information at my disposal, and therefore it's not a Neder. To which Rava says, no, that's not the understanding of our Mishnah whatsoever. Meaning, even when they said it, they didn't mean it. Because they knew that that's how negotiation is done. I say 4, I don't really mean 4, I just mean it's not going to be 2. He says 2, what he really means is it's not going to be 4. But even at the time of utterance, it's simply not a neder. Amale Ravin Le Ravashi, Amale Tfei Misela V'Halamar Basi Mishekel, Nidra Havai Uzri Zin Havai. Gemara now wants to, wonders, questions. In our mission, what was the example that was given? One position was 4, the other position was 2. And so therefore, within a very easy average to discover between 4 and 2, so the Mishnah says, we all agree that the price that they'll settle upon is 3, but more to the point, neither one is bound by neder because neither one really made a neder. They use the word neder, but they're not bound by neder because, again, it was just motivational. It was just to get the other one to move from his position. The Gemara now wonders, let's say the seller's position is greater than a sella. And let's say the buyer's position is less than a shekel. So less than two dinarim. So nidra havai is reason havai. So is this a neder or is this a zaris? Okay, is this motivational or is each one of them really bound by a neder? What's the issue over here? Meaning, what's at the source of the Gemara's question? So the Ran offers a couple of explanations. Take a look at the Ran. The Ran is now all the way towards the bottom of the page. Three very wide lines down, starting with the words Amalei Tfei Misela. Klomar. Shama lakonim sheni poches lacha minasela upruta. So let's say that the seller says that my selling price is going to be starting at one sella plus a pruta. Okay, a little bit more than a sella. So it's 4 dinarim plus a little bit more. And the buyer says, you know, that's funny because I'm not budging anything above 2 minus a little bit. Okay, in other words, one, if I may, $1.99. So, nidra havai is reason havai. So is this a neder or is this just simply motivational? The ikal amema, I'm reading from the Ran. The ikal amema kevin danachis kula hali diyuka b'dafka nidra v'lola zares. So one possibility is that I'm sorry, right? One possibility, says the Ran, is that look how specific each party is. Meaning, if my position is just to get you to move off your position, so I'm going to say four and you'll say two. And the other party says, well, I'm saying two even though you're saying four. Meaning, if we're using whole numbers, so then our whole purpose over here is just to get you to move off your position. But if I start off with $4.01, and I'm just using, you know, modern currency, $4.01, and the other party is saying, no, $1.99. So maybe, this is the Gemara's question, the way the Ran explains it. Maybe because we're being so specific in amounts, maybe it's pretty clear that this is not motivational. This is actually my position in terms of where I'm not budging from. And if he made a netter to $4.01, and if the buyer made a netter of $1.99, so maybe they meant it specifically, and it actually the netter is binding. That's one way the Ran understands the Gemara. Lishna Achrina. The Ran also gives another way to understand the Gemara. Amrei Tfei Mesela Shamar Shloif Chosel Mechamesh Dinarim. Let's say what the Gemara actually means when he says more than four. So that what's the next number greater than four? Five. Okay. So maybe the seller started off with his price being five. V'amrlo idach batzir min shekel shlo yitem bo yoser min dinar. And the position of the buyer was one less than two, which is one. So in other words, this is the second way the Ran understands the Gemara. It's not a question of specifics, it's a question of look how far apart they are from one another. As opposed to four and two, where each one is only one away from the center, now we're talking about five and one, right? Greater variance. So now, there obviously still is an average, but they're really far away from the average. And maybe this is now the Ran's second understanding of the Gemara, because they're so far apart from one another, and each one then makes a neder to their vast difference between the two between each other, so maybe then the neder is a serious neder. Me and Rina Kevin de Mechaki Kulahai Bidafka neder, because they're so far apart one another. Maybe their neder was actually a literal neder. Okay, so two ways the Ran understands the Gemara's question over here, to which the Gemara says, Nidra Habe Ozuzan Habe Amalei Tanina. So he says, well, I think I know the answer. It's based on a Mishnah. Mishnah is coming up later in the Masechta. Let's learn the Mishnah together. We're in Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, right in the middle of the Amud. Hay Masarv B'Chaver Sheyochel Etzlo V'Amar Lo. So let's say I'm trying to get my friend to come over to my house to eat with me, and you know, he's being stubborn. So I'm pushing. And finally, Amar Lo Konim Be'Zcha Sh'ani Nechnas. And finally, the guest, the belligerent guest, has finally had enough of all his demands and said, you know what? Your house is going to be prohibited to me by way of neder. I'm not getting benefit from your house. Or, tipat sonin shani toim. Or he says to him, I'm not having one drop of even cold water from you and your house. Okay, so obviously, the prospective guest had enough, and by way of neder, he said, no thank you. But instead of saying no thank you, he uses a neder to basically demur and say, I ain't coming. Mutar likanes lebeiso, ulishtos yemenu tzonein. So the Mishnah teaches us that he can go into the house, he could drink cold water, shalon is kavin zeh, ela l'shum achila v'shtiya. Because all he meant is that I'm not coming in and I'm not having a meal. Again, the context is really telling us what the intent of the person was. Because it wasn't that I'm not walking into your house. It wasn't that I'm not having a drop of water. It was, I'm just not going to have a meal. Now, again, he said his neder to an extreme circumstance, but the context tells us that's not what he meant. What he simply meant is that he's not going to have a meal. That is the Mishnah that we're going to be learning later on. So ve'amai v'atipa sonin kamar. So the Gemara says, now, why are we interpreting his neder that way? Meaning, why don't we interpret his neder to what he actually said? So the Gemara says, ela mishtai inishachi. Hachanam mishtai inishachi. So the answer is very simple. Because that's how people talk. Meaning that when you are involved in a language and in a culture, so you understand that people say certain things. And by the way, just it's always interesting. Culturally speaking, sometimes a form of expression in one language is not always or not sometimes acceptable in another language. And you'll see the cultural divide between languages. And I can think of one example, but I can't repeat it. In other words, you understand that that's how people talk. So when the person says, "I'm not having a drop of cold water by you," we understand that even though he said it, and even if he said it by neder, doesn't matter. Meaning, what you also have to understand is that what he meant was, "I'm not having a meal." But he didn't mean, "I'm not walking into your house." He didn't mean that, you know, "I'll have a cold cup of water by you." What he meant is that he's not having a meal. So the Gemara says, so good. So when making a neder, when expressing a neder, so you have to understand what's common usage of language. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, and what the Gemara now is trying to prove is the same thing over here. Same thing over here when one starts off with his position being 5 and the other one starts off with his position being 1. And they both make nedarim to that effect. That I'm not selling it for anything less than 5. And the buyer says, "I'm not buying it for anything more than 1. So maybe the Gemara says, we can make the argument, that's just simply how people talk. Me dummy. The Gemara says, now slow down, I'm not sure if these two cases are comparable. Me dummy, we're now on the top of Chafal from the base. Gabit son and Sadiqa Momri Mat Vosim Harbe. So Hachas Fekahu Dama. I'm sorry. Stop over there. Tzadikim omrim avosim harbe. When it comes to the tzonim, when it comes to the cold drink of water, so we generally know that when it comes to tzadikim, so they say a little, but they do a lot. Meaning that when he says cold cup of water, why is he making an edra about a cold cup of water? Because he understands that I come in, starts with a cold cup of water. And then we see this by Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu says, "Why don't you stop in? I'll just give you a drink." And then Avram prepares a lavish meal. That's how tzaddikim operate. And the intended guest understands. You know, it's all going to start with a cold cup of water. And then, next thing you know, I'm going to be sitting down and I'm going to be eating tongue. Okay? Just to use Avram as a model. Okay, so that's why he said, "I'm not, you know, by neder, I'm not having a cold cup of water." It's not about the cold cup of water. It's that I understand that what he really wants me to do is have a meal. And that's what I'm prohibiting. But it's not the cold cup of water. Good. So Gemara says that's why in that case over there we understand his intent wasn't, when he made the neder, was not on the cold cup. However, hacha, but over here is fekahu. Dema pachas mitzel v'yosel shekel kamar uzrizin havei o dema dafka kamar v'nidja havei. But the Gemara says over here we're talking about negotiation. We're not talking about tzaddikim. We're talking about just regular people engaged in business. So once again, we'll just restate the question. If the difference between the two of them is not that great, and one's position is 4, and the other position is 2, and the point of agreement is going to be 3, so we could say that, yeah, they made nedarim, but they're not that far from one another. And maybe they just wanted to move each other from the other's position. Fine. But if one is saying 5 and the other's saying 1, or the other pshat in the run, one is saying 401 and the other one's saying 199, so there, you could make the argument that they're not just trying to move each other from the other's position. Maybe they're being very specific when they're saying 5 and 1 or 401 and 199. So the Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe this is not just reason. Maybe it's not just motivational. Maybe they're being specific in what they're suggesting. And to which the Gemara says, Tibai. The Gemara says, okay, we're going to ask that question. And Tibai, it's the way of Nedarim's way of, it's the Masechta Nedarim's way of saying Teku. I don't know. I don't know what would be in such a scenario. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara. Amar Bihura Marav Asi Arba'a Nedarim Halal Tzrichim She'ela L'chacham. So these 4 Nedarim require She'ela L'chacham. Okay, so the Gemara starts off with a statement by Rav Asi, and that you have to go to a chacham when you made any one of these 4 nedarim. So kiyam risakam edishmol amar tanatanei arba nedarim hitir chachamim va'atam enstrich and sheila l'chacham. So when this statement was told in front of Shmuel, so Shmuel like couldn't believe it. Like that's what are we talking about? Meaning, look back at the Mishnah and look what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says that these 4 nedarim, the chachamim were matir. Matir means that they're not nedarim at all. And you're telling me that you have to go to a chacham and you have to be matir, you have to have the chacham and be matir it? Okay. Rav Yosef Masil al Shmaita by Lishna. Rav Yosef goes over the same point, but in a slightly different language. I'm Rav Yehuda Ravasi and Chacham Rashi Latir. Ela ke'ein arba nedarim halalo, that the chacham cannot be matir, other than the way these four nedarim themselves are not matir. Okay, let's take a look at the Ran together. Right. Ein chacham matir ela ke'ein arba nedarim halalo. Klomar. The Ran says, what does the Gemara mean over here? She'en lo lahatir becharata, ela bepesach. The Ran says that, as far as these nadarim are concerned, so when a heter is required, so you're going to have to use what's called the pesach and not a charata. Now, I know we just spoke about this yesterday, but here the Ran writes about it on today's daf. Let's see the words of the Ran. Kishu'inata bepesach mochich mitochishu neder taos, v'have ke'en arba nadarim. Look. When you are matir through a Pesach, so what does that mean? What is a Pesach? A Pesach is saying, I made a mistake. Meaning, I didn't know all the facts, I didn't have all the information in front of me, and I made a mistake. Very much like these nedarim. Ava b'charata lo. But that's not true when it comes to charata. Behind time of the other Pesach mecharata. Now, the Ran over here is comparing charata and Pesach. Again, we talked about this just yesterday, but let's talk about this again. Again, using the words of the Ran. So what's the difference between Pesach and Charata? Again, a person makes a neder, and he needs to be released from this neder. So there are two ways that a Chacham could do so. One is what's called Charata, which literally translates as remorse, and the second way is Pesach. The difference is, says the Ran, L'fi shekol neder shu niter bePesach, harei hanoder omer. So when a neder is released through a Pesach, so the one who made the neder says as follows, Shafila b'tchilas kishenadar, Ilo haya nosin elibo oso pesach, lo haya noder. Look, I made a neder, and I was of sound mind and sound body. Like, in other words, I was reasonable at the time of the neder. But here's the problem. I didn't have all the information in front of me, meaning that there's certain things that resulted from my neder, which I just simply was not aware at the time of my neder. And had I been aware at the time of my neder, I obviously wouldn't have made it. So, nidro betos. Every time you're matir neder using a Pesach, you're essentially saying, I made a mistake. Meaning, I didn't consider X, Y, and Z at the time when I made the neder. And had I considered it, I of course never would have made it. That's what's called a neder betos. And essentially, like we've said a number of times, but here now we get to say it outright, it's a neder where I just simply did not have all the information in front of me. Aval neder shunita becharata, but the Ran goes on to say. But let's contrast that with charata. What is charata? Charata is regret and remorse. What does that mean? It means that when I made the neder, I was not of sound mind when I made the neder. Meaning, at the time when I made the neder, I was just flying off the handle. The Ran goes on to write, "Eino motzei im atzmo shum inyan shilo hayanot no elibo mitchila sholaya noder." It's not that I didn't consider the following. Eloshu omer achshav mitoch hakas o mimnei mehiras nadarti. It's just that at the time when I made the neder, I was either angry or I was impetuous. But in other words, it has nothing to do with a consideration that I didn't take into consideration. It's just that I flew off the handle.
But being impetuous means that you really were not making logical
decisions based on facts. No? It means you were being irrational. But it wasn't based on...
Doesn't mean that you didn't consider all the things. Isn't that like subsection of like a...
Okay. So the Ran over here gives us a very important distinction between charata and pesach. Charata means that at the time when I made it, I was just irrational. Meaning there's no reason why I shouldn't be bound by this neder. There was no mitigating condition that I should have thought about. I was just being irrational. So, but if he makes that argument, so you can release him from his neder. Again, assuming that that's true. Pesach, on the other hand, means I was perfectly reasonable, logical at the time when I made the neder, but things came up as a result of the neder, things that I did not take into consideration. If a chacham can walk me and guide me through, here, did you consider this? Did you consider this? Did you consider this? Oh no, those are things that I didn't take into consideration. I didn't realize that that was going to happen as a result of my neder. So then that's the Pesach, and that will release him from his neder. Obviously, charata, we talked about this yesterday, we'll get to say it again. Charata is a much easier way to get out of a neder, because all you have to say by charata was, I was unreasonable at the time. I was hasty. As opposed to a Pesach means that, no, I was calm and rational, and I just didn't take everything into consideration. So by a Pesach, obviously the Chacham has to now guide you and try to figure out together with you, like, what are the things that you didn't think about at the time when you made the neder? Okay, so... I mean, I'm just, you know, whatever the Ron throws as an example, I would say, but right, he throws out the examples of Kas or Bimihiros.
No Kas, no Mihiros. I meant it.
No, that's right. That's exactly that wouldn't fall under Charata. So when a Chacham is going to be Matir, so Ela Ke'ein Arba Nedarim Halalo. So that means as follows. Look. So now let's go back to our Gemara. Now let's properly understand what our Gemara is trying to say. Our Gemara now at this point is trying to say as follows. The four examples given in our Mishnah, obviously, they don't need a Chacham. That's the whole point of our Mishnah. That's the whole point of our Perek. Is that these Nedarim are not Nedarim. But why aren't they Nedarim? They're not Nedarim because at the time when you said it, that's not what your intent was. In other words, again, let's go back to our first example. Today's daf. Nidre's reason. I said four, but I didn't mean four. I meant three. I just want you to move away from two. When I said two, I didn't mean two. I just mean I want you to move away from four. So in other words, there were mitigating circumstances in terms of why it is. Neither of us were being irrational. Neither of us were being impetuous, which is simply, this is the way people talk to get people to move off one another. So the Gemara now is saying that when a Chacham releases somebody from a neder, he has to do so in this manner. This manner meaning, not charata. Charata means that when you said something, you were being impetuous, you were being angry. You weren't of sound mind. But when a Chacham is matir somebody from a neder, he can only do so from a position of Pesach. Rational. Reasonable. Like, is that what you meant when you said it? Did you consider X, Y, and Z? That's what the Gemara is saying in the name of Rav Asi. Okay. And now what the Gemara is going to do is explain to us that even though Rav Asi's position is that when a Chacham is Matir Neder, he can only do so from a position of Pesach and not from a position of Charata, we're going to see story after story where basically you see Tamid Chachamim being Matir Nedarim based on Charata. And you'll see the story after story. So we are just going to do a couple stories for today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. A person came into Rav Huna and Amar Lei Libcha Alecha. He says to him, "Was your heart about you? Was your heart about you?" What does that mean? It means, were you of sound mind when you made the neder? So Amar Lei Lo. So and she said to him, "Sorry, this is a he." We'll get to the she in just a moment. So he says to him, "No, I was crazed at the time when I made the neder. I was not rational." So Visharye. So Rav Huna says, I'm sorry, not Rav Huna. So yeah, Rav Huna. So Rav Huna says, okay, good. That's enough. Meaning you're released from your neder. So again, so what was the Pesach over here? What was the exit strategy from the neder? What was the result that he didn't think about at the time? Exactly the point. Meaning this is the whole definition of charata. Charata just simply means, were you of sound mind when you made the neder? And if his response is, no, I wasn't of sound mind, okay, that falls under the category of charata. But mind you, however, this obviously argues with the previous position. The previous position was, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav Asi, you can use charata. You have to use the Pesach, and obviously, over here he disagrees. Another story. Let's just imagine that at the time when you made the neder, 10 people were there and asks you to be reasonable, to be rational. Mina Dart, would you have made a neder? So Amar Lei Lo. He says, no. In other words, if I would have had my friends around me and calmed me down at the time, I never would have made a neder. Vitiru. And he says, okay, that's enough. Meaning, good. That's all I need to know. And again, all these Gemaras are going to point to the same idea, that a Chacham can be matur using the method of Charata. In other words, you weren't rational at the time when you made the neder? Okay, that's enough to be matir. Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Omer Mlo La'adam, Lev Ze Alecha. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you can ask the person who made the neder, Lev Ze Alecha, is your heart upon you? Im Amar Lav, Matir Noso. And if he says, no, that was not rational at the time. So good, that's enough for a heter. Rabbi Ishmael Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishama Viv. Rabbi Ishmael Rabbi Yossi quotes his father. That's usually, by Rabbi Ishmael, it's usually how it goes. And the Gemara often is like very, very respectful of Rabbi Yossi. Right, you're going to find Rabbi very often when he, you know, hears something in the name of Rabbi Yossi, he like backs away. He's like, oh, Rabbi Yossi says it. So Rabbi Yishmael quotes the name of his father. If 10 people over there were there at the time when you made the neder and try to calm you down and get you to become reasonable, would you have made the neder? Imam Arlav, he says, no, I would not have made the neder. So Matir Naso. So the Gemara says, good, that'll be enough. So
Charata or Pesach?
This is all. Every one of these is charata. Every one of them, and that's exactly the point of the Gemara. The point the Gemara is making is that charata would be sufficient. Now, by the way, the Gemara, right, Mitch? The Gemara doesn't tell us that we're transitioning. In fact, if you look at the Ran, look at the first wide line of the Ran, right? Eloi Yasar b'nei Adnashif Aisucha Kasavra in poskim becharata. So the Ika Degaris Kasavra poskim becharata va'akol ola latam echad lefisha inyan zed Eloi Yayu b'nei Adam gara mi Pesach v'adif mecharata. So the Ran goes on to make the argument that this is not a Pesach. It's a little bit better than Charata, but it's certainly not a Pesach. Pesach, again, is rational, reasonable, and logical arguments of, if you would have known X, Y, and Z, would you have made it? And he said, no, I wouldn't have made it. That's Pesach. Charata was, were you irrational at the time? Were you emotional at the time? Were you angry at the time? That's Charata. So the Ran says that, many have the gear said that, this is obviously falls more into the category of charata. Let's just do a little bit more in the Gemara, and we'll stop for today, and we'll pick it up tomorrow. The Gemara gives us simanim, right? Asi, Elazar, Yochanan, and Yanai. Mind you, by the way, that we have where the first story that we're going to see is regarding Rabbi Asi. Now, you should wonder out loud, as I'm about to do. It was Rav Asi who early on the page says that you cannot create an exit from a neder using a charata. You must use a Pesach. So the Ran is bothered by this, and the Ran says that this is a different, this is not Rav Asi, this is Rabbi Asi. Meaning it's got to be a different Rabbi Asi, otherwise you won't have agreement with what is being said now, as opposed to what is said earlier. Okay, so Hahud also coming to Rabbi Asi, someone comes in front of Rabbi Asi, Amarle Kedoti Yet, do you regret having made it? Meaning, the Ran says, Toa Ala Rishonos, right, is this something where you were like incredulous, like you can't believe you said this? Amarle Lo. So he says, no, meaning at the time when I said it, I was not rational. I was not reasonable. Vishaya and Rabbi Asi says, good, that's enough. That will release you from your neder. One more story for today. Hauda asal kamei de Rabbi Lazar. Amalei bayis nador. So ilu lo miragzin li lo beinan klum. So he says that if I wasn't angry, if I wasn't berogez, so I wouldn't have said anything. So amalei tehei kavais. So he says, okay, yeah, we're good. Meaning that as much as you admit that you were at the time angry and impetuous, so therefore your neder is going to be a released neder. Okay, so a number of examples throughout the Gemara today in terms of a release that comes not through a Pesach, but just through simple charata. Okay, let's quickly recap and we'll pick it up tomorrow. But tomorrow we'll start with the third Amora. Okay, so we introduce the idea ourselves to the idea. First, we introduce ourselves to the third parak. The third parak is a parak that's really all rooted in intent. That's what Tosus told us in the beginning of the first Tosus on the parak. That really all this is intent. You said a neder. You articulated that you made a neder. But based on the contextual clues, it's clear that that wasn't your intent. Your intent was not to make the neder. There are four different categories. Today we focused on Nidre's reason. The motivational neder, nedarim. I'm making a neder not because it's really a neder, but I want you to move from your position. So that's a motivational neder. So the Mishnah tells us that if I, for example, negotiation, where seller says, I'm selling it to you for no less than four, and buyer says, I'm not paying it no greater than two, so they can agree to three, and even though each one of them made a neder, but you understand, though, that wasn't your intent. The intent wasn't to make a neder. To which the Gemara suggested that this all is rooted in the position of Rabbi Tarfon, that you have to know all the information at the time when you disclose that neder, but to which the Gemara says, no, that's not true. That our Mishnah is not limited to the position of Rabbi Tarfon, but really the root of our Mishnah is the idea that when people negotiate, that's simply how people talk. People use nedarim. One thing I did not mention in the daf, which is really important, and it's the Ran, and the Ran says that even though our Mishnah says that these are not nedarim, and they all get and you all get a pass, but the Ran says, but really a person should not be in the habit of doing this. Right? I didn't make this point earlier this morning. I'm sorry. Tanya b'Tosefta. The Ran is found on Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Okay, so I should have read this earlier today. It's five middle lines down in the Ran. Tanya b'Tosefta, the Ran says, the Mechilton Af Nedarim Sha'amar Mutarin Minayin Shelo Yeh Adam No Debahem. Even though all these Nedarim are good, meaning they're not Nedarim, and your intent wasn't there, and they're all fine, and you don't even need Shelas Chacham. But he quotes the Tosefta, and the Tosefta says, don't get into the habit of doing this. Kedei levatlan tamalamar lo yechel dvaro. Lo yaseh dvarav chulin. The Rambam mehochus nedarim. Rambam brings this down as well, writes the Ran. That even though they're fine, but think about it. What basically you're doing is you're violating your word. That's not a good thing. Meaning the seller said, I'm not selling to you for less than four. And he says it by way of neder. So eventually what he's going to end up doing is go against that which he said. Now again, the context and the intent is not there, so we know it wasn't neder, but still, a person should not be in the habit of making any such nedar, even if it's to just move somebody off their position. And finally, just to finish up the review, then on the Amud Beis, the Gemara goes into a discussion, then the Gemara asks the question, what if the positions of the two negotiators is greater than four and less than two? So that the Gemara is unclear of whether or not that's just Zrizim, or it's more than Zrizim. Maybe they mean what they said. And finally, the Gemara's final discussion is that when I'm Matir or Neder, can I be Matir or Neder, can I be Matir or Neder using Charata, using just regret and remorse, with the argument that at the time when I made the Neder, I was not of sound mind? Or the only way to release somebody from a neder is through a Pesach. A Pesach is a rational discussion of, were you aware of the consequences when you made that neder, and maybe you didn't consider X, Y, and Z, and that's what's called Pesach. So the Gemara's position, quoted in the name of Ravasi, is that you can only release through a Pesach, similar to our Mishnah, where basically there are all the cases in our Mishnah are built in Pesachim, to which the Gemara says no. Case after case where we see in the Gemara that you can release somebody even through charata, meaning where you have sound mind when you made the neder, and the person says, no, I was crazed, I was emotional, I was irrational. So the Gemara says that's going to be a way to release somebody from the neder, and that's what's called charata. Okay, Adkar.